Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Grow up, you two.
He's Garrett Price.
Never, ever.
I'm just giving muffled rounds of applause over here. That's all.
Forget you too.
Clapping like he has pillows for hands. Matt likes to do a clap before we do start the show to like sync up the sound, and he gave the most muffled clap we've ever heard.
No one would ever be able to hear it.
Yeah.
You know what? I had a lot going on.
Sound
I
was like concentrating. An angel farting.
You were.
Yeah. Hi, Jared. How you doing today?
Yeah, Jared's not here. Remember problems. Technical difficulty in the football world. We call those TDs.
Wow.
Here we are talking Dynasty Fantasy Football in the middle of January. And this week's show, we are covering two subjects on today's show and tomorrow's show. Today, we're going to cover a couple. We usually have a quarterback and running back that we like as a buy.
Buying them.
And then on tomorrow's show, we're going to cover a quarterback and running back that we like as a sell.
Get rid of
in
them.
Dynasty. Mm. And we'll flip it next week and we'll do wide receivers and tight ends.
Correct.
Then we'll follow that up with a super flex tight end premium mock draft. Kind of really see where we're standing.
I'm in a startup right now. I'm ready for it.
Are you really?
Look, literally right here. There it is.
You're a nasty individual.
While we're on air, you're doing
this. Well, jeez, I'm also using this as a little bit of a test case because I was using this as my buys and sells because it's hard to know where the market is on people right now.
Yeah. So I give you a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. Turn it down a little bit. That was too loud.
Oh, man. Right in the offseason. I tell myself last year, like 0% will you do a startup in 2024. 0%. And here it is, January 16th, and I'm like, oh, man, I can go for another startup.
I could do one.
I could always do.
This one's a best ball. That's what I'm leaning in a little bit more toward.
Now you say that, I'm like, oh, man, I should just do a best ball. But I have my last in our standing leagues, which I'll probably open up maybe a little bit more than I probably would want to.
Let me ask you this. A best ball at this point.
Uh-huh.
No rookies then, right? No incoming rookies? Or how does that work?
We're drafting the rookie slots. So 101, gotcha. 102. Yep. So
it's just as fun.
Yeah. It's pretty fun.
And now you get a second draft out of
then
it.
Now you also get another draft.
Yes. Yeah. I told you how I was doing all my new startups going forward.
Yeah. Were you doing it 2 years out?
In advance. Yeah.
So I love it.
Love it as well. I love startups. I feel like that's my excel point, like where I really strive is startups. Like I just always come away like a satisfied customer.
I'm satisfied with me.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's dive in here. So we're gonna talk about some buys that we like at the position, and I'll just go first.
You know what? Why don't you go first, Rich?
I think you should take the floor.
Yeah.
And at quarterback,
QB,
coming with a shocker here, My bye is Baker Mayfield.
Oh, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dream, I didn't see that coming.
It's my dream lover. that's a wrong term I want to use. Big fan.
Big dream big lover.
Fan. Yeah,
yeah. Quite a downgrade. That thing de-escalated quickly.
Big fan.
The latter part of that statement doesn't really ring true.
I'm just a big fan.
Plus, Dalton would be so mad. Dalton had a good playoff game for Buffalo.
He did.
And that got that tutty. Yeah. So, yeah, Baker Mayfield. And with the quarterback situation, which is looking like it's a solid group right now, but I think when it comes to buy, you're always looking for best bang for your buck, right? Like that's
correct.
That would make somebody for a buy. And what makes somebody a sell is, you know, where like you see the perceived value in the community is higher than you have them. Doesn't mean they're a bad player. It's just you feel like you could squeeze that for a little bit more juice.
Correct.
And for Baker Mayfield, where he's going right now, you know, in quarterback like 16, 17, 18 range right around there, I think he is more valuable than that. I think he's shown us this year that he could be a quality quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, once he left Carolina last year, which was abysmal, he looked good on the Rams. Like, everybody agreed he looked good on the Rams.
Absolutely.
Yep. He's only 28 years old. Finished the year from weeks 1 through 17 as quarterback 9 on the year. So, a top 10 fantasy football quarterback. Weeks 9 through 17, the second half of the year, he was QB7 overall, averaging 18 points per game. 26 touchdown, 8 interceptions. His 8 interceptions were fewest amongst all qualifying quarterbacks in the league. 3,598 passing yards, 96.2 passer rating. He was top 10 in the NFL in yards, 9 overall. Top 10 in touchdowns, he was 7th. Top 10 in yards per attempt, his 7.2. And top 10 in passer rating. So Baker took a big step this year. And the odds of him leaving Tampa Bay now looks slimmer than ever.
Oh, after winning that playoff game, that really seemed to lock things up.
Handily, too. I mean,
yeah. Did not see that coming.
So to have a quality quarterback that you can have on your roster for the next 4 to 5 years that you're paying QB2 prices, that has the potential to give you QB1 numbers. Now, odds of him getting Mike Evans back next year are slim, but it doesn't mean they can't bring another wide receiver in either via free agency or the draft. This is the deepest wide receiver class we're going to see in a very long time. So,
and even some of those young guys are starting to step up in Tampa Bay and play better. Trey Palmer is a great example of a guy out of Nebraska.
And
out of Nebraska via
LSU.
LSU. Come on. Let's state that correctly.
Outside of Baker, too, I really like his OC, Dave Canales. Like, he's done a really good job out there, you know, coming up with a game plan that really fits Baker and the rest of the team. And he'll probably get some head coach looks this year. He probably won't get a head coach job, which means he'll be back with Tampa Bay next year, which is going to be really good for Baker as well. And right now, you could probably flip Baker for, you know, Kirk Cousins straight up, who is 32.
Cousins 35.
So you're getting 7 years younger there. Possibly Geno Smith, because it depends how much people don't like it. Now, this playoff game probably gave him a boost, and I had Baker down as my buy before the playoff game.
Sure.
So that probably gave him a little bit of boost. But, you know, if you throw Geno in plus maybe a second, a Russell Wilson plus, a David Carr or Derek Carr. David Carr is long gone.
It would have to be a plus, plus, plus.
That's a big plus.
Plus, I think there's definitely, when it comes to quarterbacks in Superflex leagues, and obviously we're going to talk all quarterbacks in Superflex here, it's usually sometimes a challenge, right? Because you have 12 teams. There's only 24 that, you know, you got to start 24 at all times. So even as a quarterback 3, not all quarterbacks are you can go out there and get.
Correct. Usually.
Absolutely.
Baker falls in a category you can go out there and get for a quarterback that's older or possibly even a draft pick.
Let me ask you this real quick. Here's a guy that is in a similar lot in life, former first overall pick, kind of really redeemed himself with, you know, after his first team. A guy like Jared Goff. Where does Baker compare to a Jared Goff at this point?
I'd rather have Jared Goff.
I would too. But how far off is he?
I don't think too far off. You know, Jared Goff was second. I'm sure surprising the most. Jared Goff was second in the NFL behind Tua Tagovailoa this year in passing yards. You know, my only concern about Jared Goff, I guess, technically would be like the loss of Ben Johnson, which is going to be 100%. And you hope they can kind of maintain that offense going forward with whoever they may have to come in and take over that role, maybe they promote within. But, I mean, you got to like Jared Goff's better weapons better and two solid running backs, the number one tight end, and really good receivers in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jamison Williams really kind of stepped up there a couple games, like showed what he can give you.
Sure, the deep threat wise.
Yeah, coming in to 2024. So pretty close. I think, you know, I thought about putting Jared Goff on this list as a buy for me.
Sure.
It just, I think he would be more expensive than Baker Mayfield. So
he's a year or two ahead of Baker in that sense. Like, think about Jared Goff when his first year in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
They did not have a lot of weapons yet. Sure. All they had was Hawkinson. That was it. They hadn't drafted Amon-Ra yet. They hadn't gotten Laporta and Gibbs.
Did they get rid of Hawkinson in that year? No, it wasn't that year.
Never mind. No, they got rid of him like two year and a half ago.
They sold the Gazelle there. Is that their number one receiver?
The Gazelle.
Marvin
Jones?
No, Williams.
Tyrell Williams.
Tyrell Williams.
Oh, maybe.
Tyrell the Gazelle.
Yeah. Maybe.
Can't remember.
I totally forgot about him.
That's a good comp, though, of like somebody like perceived value-wise. I mean, obviously, him getting traded to Detroit, his value somewhat plummeted.
He was being drafted as a third quarterback in a lot of startups that year.
Yeah. And Baker's somewhat on the rise, definitely with the playoff win here, finishing as a quarterback one. But even if it finishes as a quarterback one, it's probably still in some people's eyes, he's perceived as not a great quarterback.
Sure.
You know, sometimes once you put that taint in somebody's eyes, and I'm not talking about between your legs, Garrett, don't get all pervy on me.
When you taint, how else would you perceive that, by the way?
I mean, tainted eyes.
Tainted eyes.
I mean, you ever wear sunglasses?
I have.
They could be tinted.
Tinted.
Or tainted.
It's what I would say that is. But.
And I didn't even say tainted. I just said taint.
That's correct.
When you taint an eyeball,
you're sure to get pink eye.
That's a stinky situation. Well, it depends, really, on the situation. But, I mean, once you put that perceived value in somebody's head, then it's hard to get out there.
Value. It's a tainted value. I mean,
it is a tainted value.
You know? Slightly stankier than it used to be.
Right in the middle of being like, to like, this is nice and pleasant. I mean, yes, all depends on the situation. So I like finding value in players that are just out there that people don't love. And they're out there all the time. I mean, we beat a dead horse to death. You know, guys, like we said before,
we beat Robert a dead horse Woods. To death. I mean, he was already dead and we kept beating him.
Don't even ask me where. Tainted situation.
Anyway.
Do horses have taints? I guess everybody does, technically. If you're a mammal.
Good luck approaching a horse's taint and not getting kicked.
I'll get on this research. I'll get back to you.
Seems danger zone right there, but I don't know.
So you know, with the situation, what's going to happen there with Baker, him going back, him likely probably getting anywhere from a 3 to a 5 year deal. I could definitely imagine being more short term.
I would think he's going to get a three. I mean, that's what I would guess. That's what feels right. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's what I would do with the possibility to extend it in 2 years at the age of 30. So, and to get it, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years out of quarterback to give you say high end quarterback two numbers to possibly quarterback one numbers, giving up, getting just a little bit younger, that works for me. And a lot of my guys here are just flips. Like they're not like, I don't think I'm gonna talk about any, none of my sells even are guys like I don't like just want to get rid of. They're more of like, I want to upgrade here.
Sure.
And I think Baker's gives you the opportunity to upgrade your quarterback room without either giving up an older quarterback or honestly a draft pick, like a late first round pick possibly, or just another position player they may have an abundance of, because quarterbacks will always be the king of the crop.
You know, yeah, we should do an episode because it got me thinking when I was talking about Jared Goff as a comp to Baker Mayfield. They play pretty similar. Neither one's overly athletic. They can run here and there if they have to, but that's not their game.
They're going to get it done with their arm.
Right, they're going to get it done. They're more pocket passers.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed like Baker was like the slight off-brand version of Jared Goff, but he's cheaper, but he's going to taste the same. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I wonder if we stop, if we do an episode sometimes on like off-brand players where they're not as sexy as the OG version.
The Mr. Pibb show.
Yeah, the Mr. Pibb and the Mountain Lightning show.
You know, I saw some guy research it like for Aldi's, you know, when they have the off-name brands of like cereals and everything. Like if they have like, say you have like Frosted Flakes, these are Frosted Jakes.
Yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, these are Cinnamon Toast Bombs. They're made by the General Mills. So whoever the company is for Aldi is owned by General Mills. It's the exact same cereal.
I don't believe
exact
that.
Exact same food. It was got to research it. It dug really? Deep. It went through all the legal paperwork and it's the exact same company.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. Well, Trader Joe's owns Aldi's too.
Do they?
Yeah.
They
I saw this like a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like it's just because people feel like they're getting better value. It's made by the exact same company.
Interesting. Because there are certain things where I've tried off-brand versions of it. And I'm like, that tastes exactly the same. Why would I pay full price? Then there's other things that I've tried. And I'm like, that is nothing like the original. I will not eat that.
Psychosomatic.
But that's a good show. We should do the
off-brand show.
The Mr. Pibb show.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Mountain Lightning.
And we do talk quarterbacks about their like how even a quarterback too, their value is tremendous. Yeah. Now, Baker finishes quarterback. This is going to go through weeks 1 through 18. So let me go here through weeks 1 through 17. Just to kind of give you an idea as well. Baker Mayfield, overall of every single player in PPR leagues, was the 16th most points scored.
The highest scoring.
Okay. In fantasy football.
So only behind like probably Kyren and Christian McCaffrey.
People ahead of him that weren't.
Maybe not even Kyren.
That weren't quarterbacks. The only position players ahead of him now that weren't quarterbacks.
CeeDee Lamb.
Puka Nacua. Keenan Allen by 1 point. A.J. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Tyreek Hill. CeeDee Lamb. And the number. Wow, I've never. The number one overall fantasy score this year was not a quarterback.
It was Christian.
It was Christian McCaffrey. League winning Christian McCaffrey. So, yeah. I mean, so that's why Baker Mayfield is my buy. It's out there. If you're in a super flex league, it's worth going out there and putting an offer out. And even in one QB league, he's probably even disgustingly cheap. And one, you probably get him for a late second in a one QB league if you need a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a, so, right, like I mean, I have some stuff right here in front of me on 1-1. So, I mean, the first of the year, he went for a 24 second and a 25 fourth in super flex. Yeah, that's in our trade browser.
That was this year?
That was first of the year.
Sorry, so, for a 24 yep. second. He's the one person I didn't look up in a trade block.
He's also gone for just a first and stuff like that. And
I think he's absolutely worth a first at this point.
Yeah, and something, and that's the thing. Perceived value. People are gonna be like, oh, a first for Baker Mayfield. You're getting a first for a top 20, like even if he drops down a little bit, a top 25 overall scoring fantasy player. Like, that's what you need to look at. Definitely the quarterback position in Superflex, but you're getting a top 25 overall player, the number 16th overall player this year. So 100% that's worth in a late dart throw at a receiver that you're most likely going to take, or maybe like a JT at tight end, you know, out of Texas. Mm-hmm. So
this one blows my mind. Jerry Jeudy in a second, a 25 second for Baker Mayfield in a third.
Oh, wow.
That's free. That's a second and a guy that hasn't panned out at wide receiver.
That's discount stuff right there.
That's my favorite. Crazy.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live. Woo. On Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM. Pretty. You use the analyzer. That you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now, we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now, there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you got to do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than the predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. Ooh, no way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate.
All right, Matt, you got a buy for us?
I do. You mentioned him in passing. You talking a lot, so I mean, who knows who that could actually be?
Oh, I know who it is. Don't taint the conversation, stinky legs.
All right. No, but my guy is Kirk Cousins. You mentioned him at some point during that, but 35 years old, obviously coming off a disastrous injury. But before his injury, and even despite the injury, he finished as quarterback 24 on the season.
He was balling.
And he only played weeks 1 through 8. He got injured in week 8.
That's gross.
So when he got injured, he actually at the even after that week he was quarterback 5. So obviously, straight up balling. You know, I mean, just doing amazing. He was on par to just, you know, blow out any one of his numbers. He was on like a career year. So obviously 35 years old, the Achilles injury. That's like the biggest what the heck is going to happen type of thing.
It's like a 6 months injury.
I was going to say, for a quarterback, people hear...
Especially a quarterback like him.
People hear Achilles, and everyone is very, very worried. But a quarterback like him who's just going to be a pocket passer, he's not running for his life or anything like that, it's really not that big of a deal. So none of us have any reason to think that he's not going to be back for the start of next season. So then you got to go to, hey, he's a free agent. Like, is he going to be back? He's already come out this offseason and basically when asked if he's going to give a hometown discount to the Vikings, he said, you know, I've been blessed. I've made a lot of money in my time here in the NFL. Kind of hinting at the fact that, yeah, you know, I will come back and give a discount.
Things work out.
Yeah.
He basically said, I'll give them a discount.
Right.
He said, winning's more important than money now at this point in my career.
And to me, there's no better place in the NFL for his value than staying in that system and being there with Justin Jefferson and the rest of those.
Or Atlanta.
We don't even know who.
It's true.
Even know who's going to coach that team.
Justin Fields will be the Atlanta Falcons quarterback.
He fits very well in the system there that Kevin O'Connell is
yes,
running.
For sure. Absolutely.
So, I mean, for me, for this buy, obviously, he's 35 years old. This is only going to be if you're a contender and in the hopes that he returns, right? Because, I mean, who knows what you're going to get if he goes to a different system. He could have one of those off years while he's learning the guys, learning the new system. But for me, this is all based off of him kind of going back. And I don't have any reason to think that he's not. So when you look at what he's going for in the trade calculator, it's, you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit different probably post or into the offseason than it is right now. And it's going to, I think his value is going to keep going up.
Yeah, it'll get more expensive.
As the season approaches and there's reports of him being healthy and almost being ready for camp and all that stuff. So right now he went for Matt Stafford and a 25 second for, there was Kirk and Terry McLaurin.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, that was two different ones. Terry McLaurin and Kirk for Debo, which I think is...
It's a good deal.
Is a good deal, right, yeah. In Superflex. And then there was Matt Stafford in a second for him.
Okay.
So, I mean, the Matt Stafford one.
I'd want Stafford in a second.
I think I want Kirk Cousins. It's close, though.
It is close, right?
Depends on where that second is.
But either way, it's not an expensive endeavor, right? I mean, either one of those things, it's you're not paying an arm and a leg to get a potentially top five type of guy.
And we've seen him be up there before, not even just this year. We've seen him, you know, near that area before. And in Dynasty, I think it's partly because of how short the shelf life is at other positions. After a quarterback hits like 31, 32, they're just old and they're all the same to everybody almost. Like they're just, now they have the old label and
they start floating around the league. You'll see them bounce from
team to team.
They'll be there for a couple of years.
Acquiring old quarterbacks. Yeah. I do. Like 34, 35, 36. I mean, Tom Brady played till he was 44. Like, these guys are playing longer than they ever have before. They're staying in great shape. All of the medicine, all of the science, all of the, you know, workouts and things like that are allowing them to play longer and longer into their career. So while I would hesitate to get a 27-year-old running back, I'm not hesitating at all to get a 37-year-old quarterback if I think he can still play. You know, we saw Matt Stafford this year. Everybody was worried about him retiring. Nope, he looked great. He was awesome all season.
We saw Joe Flacco come off the couch.
Off the couch at 39 years old.
And look fine.
And look good. So I think this is a great buy. I love acquiring these guys because you can get them so much cheaper than you can. And not that I don't want Josh Allen and I don't want Patrick Mahomes. Sure, right. I want those young guys and guys in their prime and things like that. But so often, if you can't get them in the draft or get them before they peak, it's just not worth it to try to go pay three plus first to go get some of these guys.
Yeah, wait for the price tag to come down. Yep. And the production will still be there for the most part. It might not, 5 years. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Definitely when you're a contender and you could throw, you know, a player there, a couple seconds at a guy like Kirk Cousins who's come up with that kind of injury. And you're right, the older quarterback is always more obtainable. And, you know, when you're looking at short life, a short shelf life, you have to remember too, from a dynasty aspect, is you're a contender now. So this isn't, you're not even thinking long term. Like when you buy a player like Kirk Cousins, like I just need, if I can get, say you gave up a first for Kirk Cousins, which I'm not advocating for. If you can get 3 years of Kirk Cousins to get quarterback one numbers, that's worth a first, a late first, again, where you're taking a gamble shot on a receiver that might help your team. I mean, of course, could you draft Puka Nacua? Yeah, but that's, you could also get him
in the fourth round.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you apparently. Know.
Get him in the fourth. Yeah, 100%.
But you could also, at the end of the first, be drafting Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, you could draft Jalen Reagor, 100%. So for me, it's we consistently get on this topic of, like, you're trying to win your league. You know, like, you can't get lost in always on just, like, what's this value? Sometimes people get so lost in dynasty thinking so far ahead where they're not looking what's right in front of them, and that's the opportunity to win a championship, which is – that's the only reason we play this game. You know, like, would it be nice to, you know, bust off like three championships and have a true dynasty? Yeah, but, you know, this year showed us over, which is really every year, injuries really hurt that and put a damper on that, your opportunity to do that, right? It's just, you can draft the best team ever, but injuries will show up and cause your team to falter or not have you win a championship. Even the best team ever could show up in week 17 and lay duds across the board and then you win. So the more talented players you add on your roster, the more players you get to score that are going to be in the top 50 overall scoring, the better odds that you will have winning. I know that sounds weird. No crap, Captain Obvious. But I think a lot of dynasty players, more than half, falter there and don't see that. And they look too far ahead. Like, oh, it's a first round. Again, we say it all the time. At least I say it on the show all the time. Like, I think draft picks are some of the most, they're desperately needed and they're very valuable. But unless you're like top six, like, draft picks are some of the most overrated things in all of Dynasty.
For sure.
And, you know, I think some people fall in. Definitely, I think this is more of a new Dynasty player. If you're a new Dynasty player where, like, you get this the NFL draft perceived value. Sure. Of a first, like, oh, I'm giving a first. I need all this back compared to what a dynasty first value is. And this is even with stud draft classes. If you go back to our show that we did, either it was late fall or in season, I think it was late fall before the year started, we went through the history of the last 10 years of NFL draft or dynasty rookie draft classes. Mm-hmm. And the odds, again, of you hitting on the back end of the first, of just having a player you can have on your roster, a rosterable player, from picks 10 through 12, so the top four finishers in your league. 9 through 12.
Yep.
They have a player on your roster that you could even just have on there as depth, not even a starter, is 50-50.
Yep.
100, it's the 50-50 was what it came out to have 10 years of looking at old drafts.
Yeah, keep track of those old drafts. I mean, if you don't have a site that keeps track of them, keep track of them and then go back and look at them. 5 years. He doesn't have to be 10 years later. Yeah. 5 years later.
Sometimes 2 years later.
We went back 11 years, actually. Yeah, right. We went back actually 11 years of drafts that we did. So, yeah, like Matt said, go back to your own league and look at your league history and look at your rookie draft classes. And then all you have to do is go back 4 years. We talk about this, too. Like, crap, just go back and look at 4 years. We talk about these long-term dynasties. And look at every team's roster and how drastically different they are and how drastically. You'll see names on there that you'd be like, oh, I forgot that player was in the NFL.
Yep.
Those kind of names. So, to get those kind of players, like, you have to be focused on where your team is today and what opportunities you have today. And again, that's why we have the Dynasty GM as well, part of the Nerd Herd, to kind of give you that bird's eye view to see where you stand and help you make these decisions, because it's so easy to get pigeonholed into your team and where you stand and the rest of your league around you. You don't even know what's around you and what you're competing against because you're so focused on your team. So I think Kirk Cousins and the age guy, like you're talking about, even one of my buys at running back, people are going to be like, oh, that's a buy? You know, at that age? Like, it's such a funny thing you threw out there is age. It's like, I'm looking at value.
Yep.
And who's going to help me win? Or if I'm rebuilding, where's the upside? Where's the upside, right? Like, you're chasing the upside unless you can't get super talented. So, Garrett, who's your quarterback bye?
Yeah, I had a few different guys in mind, but I really tried to go with who's a player that really has a chance to ascend in value that you can still get for fairly cheap. And I'm actually in the middle of a startup right now. I mentioned that earlier on. And I kind of use that a little bit, kind of looking just to see how are people being valued right now? How is the league looking? And one of the guys that I noticed, and I don't think it's going to be a huge surprise to people because I think the community as a whole is down on this player, but Kyler Murray, everybody's down on Kyler Murray right now, which is really surprising because he came off a season where he started the year injured, which really tough to not have training camp, not have all that time, just get thrust into the middle of a season and have a successful season. It's a first year head coach, so it's not like he had familiarity with the offense and things like that coming into it. He had to learn this entire offense. Then you add in that he really didn't have a lot of weapons until Trey McBride kind of emerged onto the scene and became his main weapon.
Yep.
So he's now gaining rapport with this, and they seem like a team that is very much so poised to draft a big play wide receiver in this year's draft. All of that being said, Kyler Murray still, since he came back, he was quarterback 11 overall, and on a points per game basis, he was quarterback 9. So he basically jumped right back in after injury, new coach, all of those things, and just jumped right back into being quarterback 1. But right now, he's being drafted way late, sometimes even after the first round worth of quarterbacks in startup drafts. And I think it's just too low. Look, I get the concerns. I know that he's a smaller guy. He's dealt with injuries. I know that there's still concerns around him, but he offers league-winning type upside. Just a few years ago, he was being taken as a top 3 quarterback in the NFL for fantasy football drafts. And I think he can get back to maybe not top 3. It's possible, but I think he can get back to being regularly a top 6 level quarterback because of what he offers with his legs and with his arm. I believe in that team. I think they're moving in the right direction. So I'm looking at Kyler Murray.
Yeah, weeks 10 through 18, quarterback number 9, with no weapons outside the tight end, Trey McBride. And he's about to, in about 4 months, get a stud at receiver. And maybe the Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr., which is very well possible. Mm-hmm. But if they do, then he's getting Malik Nabers. Oh, so he's getting the stud receiver. And you still have the outside X that has a lot of high upside in Michael Wilson there as well. You pair that up with Trey McBride, and then either bring James Conner back, who had a really nice year this year, or a running back's an easy
draft spot one in the third round, fourth round.
You know, so
I think both those things are possible.
Yeah. It offers a lot of upside for Kyler. And like you mentioned, with his rushing ability in the right situation, everything goes right. He offers top 6 potential because of what he brings with his legs to the game. Kind of like, you know, the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Now, it's Josh Allen's got an arm like no tomorrow, but Kyler Murray's got a very good arm as
he
well.
Does. He does.
You know, his biggest concern will always be the injuries. It's always going to be on the back of somebody's mind is, can he withstand a big hit?
And for what it's worth, in the most recent startup, he went as the 15th quarterback off the board.
Great value.
So for me at that point, I do. I think he's very good value.
And that's the thing. With him, I think about a year and a half ago, he would have been like a top 5 in consideration for a top 5.
For sure.
Pick,
absolutely.
Right?
I remember whenever we did the Nerds Invitational, that startup, I think he went as the 2nd or 3rd player off the board overall.
Right.
So he was getting drafted high.
And that's where I had a problem with him, mm-hmm. right? And that to me was too high because there was too much of an injury risk and just too much of a risk of there was a lot of weird stuff floating
knuckleheadedness.
Around.
Knuckleheadedness.
Huh?
Knuckleheadedness.
Yeah. There was just a little bit too much of that floating around for me to have him be that high. So I think at the 15th quarterback taken off the board, I think that fantastic value because even if he misses his 4 or 5 games that he's going to miss almost routinely, you're okay with it at that point,
right? You
know what I mean,
you've got a decent backup,
exactly.
And when he's there and healthy, he's going to put up points.
Yep.
And you're like you said, you're in a startup right now, and he's going quarterback 15. So that's real time value as of today to kind of give you kind of that range of what you might go out there and get a Kyler Murray for, and like what quarterback that you might have on your roster that you could flip him for. as well. So yeah, I have I flipped Kyler Murray recently for somebody who was trying to Tyler Gunther in our UDPL league. Mm-hmm. He was trying to compete for a championship, and
I won.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I end up flipping Kyler Murray.
Try harder next time, Tyler.
I flipped Kyler Murray and TJ Hockenson for Anthony Richardson and Dalton Kincaid.
Love it.
So, yeah, there's paths out there. And a lot of times when it comes to quarterbacks like this, it's like eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
Like who?
Because there are some people that still value him as a top six type quarterback. There are other people that would not touch him with a 10-foot pole, you know? And then there's everything in between.
All right. Move on to running backs here.
Running backs.
All right. So my running back here buy, this is a contender buy, not a rebuild buy.
For in fairness, I think any running back buy, for the most part, is going to be angled towards competitors, correct? I mean, you're not really buying running backs if you're...
I mean, if you're chasing upside, there's guys like Chase Brown, Zamir White. Okay. There's some out there.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So
I stand corrected.
More often than
but
more
I stand often corrected.
Than not. But more not, you are correct. I'm just putting up a good tainted fight. So, you know, one of my
tainted
favorite
love. Good song.
One of my favorite running back buys, and he's somebody who I've actually bought over the last couple of years because his value's kind of been dipping every single year, is Joe Mixon. And, you know, weeks 1 through 17, he does what Joe Mixon tries to usually do. He finishes running back 1. Running back 7 overall. He averaged 15.1 points per game. Turns 28 in July. You think he would be a little bit older for how long he's been in the league, but he only turns 28 in July. So he still has a year at least left in him. And like we talked about like last week, like he still looks pretty explosive. He doesn't have the Kareem Hunt effect where he looks like he lost a step. He looked really good even at the end of the season. And then, and what's nice about it, he played a whole year and he still looked fresh and explosive. He averaged 21.6 touches per game, was a running back 1 in 43% of the games he played, 6 out of 14. And that was despite having no Joe Burrow.
Right.
And a below average offensive line. Like I know when they got Orlando Brown and Jonah Williams supposed to be better, but their offensive line was just okay at best. Like you're talking like below the middle, probably like in the, I think on PFF and a lot of sites here ranked like around 22, 23 overall in the league. So bottom 10 in the league. And despite that offensive line, despite not having a quarterback to be able to stack the box against him, he still had 1,034 yards, which were eighth most in the league. He averaged 4 yards per carry, had 9 touchdowns, 52 receptions for 376 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he is going to be, you know, he redid his deal. There's no guarantee he's going to be back with Cincinnati.
Correct.
Now, I think they can probably still work out a deal to get him back like he did his deal this year. But at the same time, they might like what they have in Chase Brown and want to move forward there. If he does stay in Cincinnati, he's in a great offense for his skill set. There's a potential that T. Higgins won't be back, so that might kind of bump up his receiving game as well. But if he does not sign back with Cincinnati, I think he's still good enough. Like, he's not Zeke Elliott where he lost a step. He's not these running backs out here. They're not getting signed. He will be able to find a contender at a discounted price and slide in there for teams that need running backs and be the starter right away. Whether it be any team you could possibly think of, we mentioned a whole bunch like the last week or so that could use a running back. So he'll find a spot where he can go in and be the starter. And Joe Mixon's viable in a passing game and running game. And right now, he's somebody like, even last year, you can get Joe Mixon for a second-round pick, like a high second-round pick. And right now, being at 28, you could probably still get him for a second-round pick. I'd have no problem trading him for... I think he'd be a little bit more value. Nobody's going to give a first for him, but I think he holds. Remember, like Garrett said earlier, this draft class will be probably the worst running back draft class we've ever seen in the 10 years of doing the Dynasty Nerds podcast. And outside of, I think, the Jacquizz Rodgers year, but even that had DeMarco Murray in that draft class, I believe.
You got me, man. I don't remember when Jacquizz Rodgers came out.
Yeah, that's
would have been like 14 or something like that.
Yeah, probably right. Well, before the Dynasty Nerds podcast. But anyways, that was the worst draft class that I can remember off the top of my head. It was that year. It was like there's no running backs. And I think even DeMarco Murray was like a high second round pick. I think he took him at 2-1 or so.
I got him at the very top of the second round.
Yeah, yep. That year. So all those running backs were bad. So this is going to be probably worse than that.
We'll see. I haven't done my deep dive, but it's not looking pretty.
Yeah. Travion Henderson went back. Who else went back?
He's the only main one. I mean, before the college season ended, we heard Raheem Rocket Sanders was going back. Actually, he transferred from Arkansas to South Carolina, which felt random. Like a really weird move. Like, hey, let me boost my stock by going to South Carolina. I don't know. Odd choice in my book.
Closer to home, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe. But yeah, we've had a few guys come out, but
already kind of a weak class, right?
It was. And losing Henderson he was more than likely going to be the top guy. So now you take away the best player on already a weak class. So it's gonna be a little rough.
Dane Brugler came out of this mock today, two rounds. He had one quarterback, one running back going in the whole draft. It was a Texas running back.
Brooks.
Yeah. And that was to the Cowboys, which obviously would be a bump to his value in drafts. So, like, if you need a running back this year, like, your best bet, definitely your contender, is via trade. So, yeah, Joe Mixon's not worth a first, but this might be a situation where, like, hey, give me Joe Mixon, I'll give you 110, and you give me 2-3. Where these teams that are picking high in the second round, they're going to be real, like, they want to move up in the draft. Like, you always get a situation where, like, there's a player on the board, people are getting real thirsty for that player, and there's going to be a lot of receivers available. But if you're a contender and you're good at receiver, maybe you give up 110, 111, and pick up 2-3, 2-4 in Joe Mixon, if he's on one of those teams, obviously.
We're talking about, I like that vacuum kind of here. Yeah.
And you get that, and then you still pick up a receiver with high upside, because I would probably guess on the outside looking in, like, that tier will be pretty close in perceived value. If not, you can't do a trade like that. Like, if I'm a contender, I have no problem I'd give up Tony Pollard for Joe Mixon going to 24 to win. I'd give up Ramondre Stevenson. I know you probably wouldn't, but I'd give up.
Yeah, I'd rather.
I would give up Ramondre Stevenson, which how much, like, can, we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, we don't. We have no clue.
I would have no problem.
By the way, on the Ramondre stuff, I'm almost happier that Bill's gone. I feel like that cleans up some of the...
Maybe we finally get a guy that will feature a guy more.
Yep, absolutely.
And guy, like, guys that are younger that might have some outside people, like, want right now, like Zamir White, Zach Charbonnet. I'd give both those guys straight up for Joe Mixon. I'd give up Derrick Henry for Joe Mixon. And I'd honestly consider giving up Austin Eckler for Joe Mixon as well, some of his uncertainty. And now there is uncertainty about Joe Mixon, but for me, I think he's a real good fit for a contender going into 2024 that can help you win a championship that has been losing value every year. And you got to imagine it's even more so this year.
So I guess before we dive into these running backs even more and start talking about some of these other guys, because I do like Joe Mixon, I just feel like from a macro, we kind of started scraping at it a little bit when we were talking about how weak this running back class is. But from, like, a macro level, as far as what these running backs are, like, what the market is going to be for running backs this year, I think the fact that it is going to be such a weak draft, a lot of these older vets, which there are going to be a lot of free agent running backs that are older vets, they might get a crack where in years past they may not have gotten to a chance to move into a good situation. I've actually been looking at this, and it's Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler. I mean Zeke's there, but Devin Singletary started, you know, finished strong. DeAndre Swift is on the market. There's a lot of quality running backs out there, and, you know, normally the GMs, all these pro personnel and the GMs, those guys have to get together and say, hey, let's marry these two boards together. Which guy is better? I mean, a lot of these guys that are older vets are going to be the better option compared to the younger guys coming out for this year. Like, hey, they might be a 2-year stopgap, but at least they're going to get us to this better running back class, you know, 2 years down the line. Those are the kind of conversations that a lot of these front offices are going to be having. So where in past years, you know, you don't love the fact that your running back is going into the free agency market as an older guy, this might not be the worst year for that.
This is not the worst year for that, for sure.
Gary and I just did a show, the Nerd Herd show, for last week on that subject almost to a T. We kind of covered the whole running back market, and we mentioned, like, this is the year where, like, veterans will actually hold value.
I didn't even listen. I didn't know.
You're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we're seeing eye to eye in this
and
topic.
If you're a Nerd member and you haven't listened to that, you want to go check it out, because we gave a lot of names to go out there. But, like, this is the time of year right now basically the gist of it is this is a time of year right now you want to go out and trade for veterans because their value is completely depleted. But we said their value is depleted right now. But when it hits
come week three,
October, week three, four,
yeah,
these guys are going to outweigh whatever you paid for them. They're going to outweigh it tremendously. So if you give up a mid-second now for a Derrick Henry, for example, there's a chance that you'll get a high second and a third back come October, September, December, because the running back market will be so dry.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be a dry year. So I guess moving on to my guy, it really doesn't have any bearing on my player.
No, here. But I'm glad you covered that.
I did want to at least bring that up because I, you know, we spent all day kind of trying to figure out all these buys, sells, running backs. I just looking at the market, that was kind of the takeaway that I had that I wanted to get out there for.
It's not pretty out there too. I mean, I had the golden bubble at seven players in there, seven running backs. That's it. And outside of that, like we had a silver bubble. It was like, oh, these guys are good too. And then we got to
the next layer.
Yeah, and it started to get
poo the
brown bubble. Yeah.
The tainted bubble. Oh, boy. It gets ugly real fast. You're going to want running backs, and you're going to buy some of these vets now.
Yep. All right, so speaking of which, the guy that I'm going to lay down as my buy is David Montgomery. 26 years old, so he's not – he's right on the fringe, right?
Yep.
He's like in between a young guy and – you don't want to have anything to do with him. He's right in that sweet spot,
right in the 20, middle.
26 years old. He'll be 27 by the time the season, comes around next year. So it'll be getting a little dicey at that point. But this past year, finished as running back 18, and that's despite the fact that he missed three games. So on a points per game basis, he was running back 12. And what you're getting from this guy is he's super consistent. And, obviously – you look at it and you're like, oh God, a lot of his value comes from touchdowns. And a lot of times that's a negative because you would expect there to be some sort of regression in the following season. Detroit's a different animal. Detroit, they identify, who their goal line back is, and they feed that guy consistently around that goal line. And the way from their head coach, they want to be a physical presence down there at the goal line. They want to run the ball. They want to punch it in because it's an attitude thing for them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's something that's going to go away with a new OC, right? This is going to be there. It's going to be part of their plan no matter what. And I would even say Ben Johnson leaving might even up that a little bit, if anything, because the head coach might put a bigger emphasis on that as they try to establish whoever it is the new offensive coordinator is. So, you look at it and the price, it's Monty and a third for a 24 second and a third. So, I mean, you're basically getting him for a second round draft pick at this point. Mm-hmm. And maybe a second and a third. I've seen that out there a few times in the trade calculator. And it's just, like you mentioned, you get him now at that price, come season, you could get a first-round draft pick in the right situation because he's going to get you between 13 and 16 points on a week-in, week-out basis. You look at his weekly score totals, and that's what he does. There's no big dips where he's missing. He just plows ahead and scores points every single week consistently. And me personally, I would rather have 13 to 16 points every single week than a guy that's going to get you 20 points one week and four or five the next week, like a Travis Etienne.
I believe I saw a stat either yesterday or today that said when David Montgomery came back, when he was banged up there for a little bit, he actually out-touched Jahmyr Gibbs by it was 2 to 3 touches, somewhere around there from when he came back.
And he's that efficient, and despite the fact that he is top 10 in rushing against stack boxes, he has like a 26.9% of the time he's rushing against stack boxes. So they know it's coming, and he's still able to operate. He's still able to function, and he's still able to score fantasy points.
He's a running back tush push.
He is.
That's fair. No, he has been very consistent with the Lions this year. And we saw it with Jamal Williams the year before. Yeah. He stepped right into that role. And it was one of the more, sometimes in the offseason, we're kind of doing a lot of speculating on what usage. That one was easy. Everyone right away, that's Jamal Williams.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he was. He did the same thing and had the same success.
And another good thing is he's got 2 years left on his deal after this. So, I mean, he's got 24 and 25. So you can get him and expect to have him. They're gonna run him into the ground for the next 2 years, just like they're doing right now. He's gonna be very tough, very physical running, and there's probably not gonna be much left when he's done. But it's gonna be a glorious ride, I think, for the next couple of years.
I like it. All right, last one here. I ended up going with Najee Harris as my running back by. A guy that's a little bit younger, not much, honestly. He's 25 years old. Next year will be his age 26 season. So not much younger, but less NFL seasons, I should say. But beginning of the year was absolutely brutal. He started off the year really rough. However, when Matt Canada left, it was like Najee Harris became his old self again.
Breath of fresh air.
He was running back 13. But from the moment Matt Canada was gone through the rest of the season. So he was almost a running back one through the rest of the season. And this Pittsburgh Steelers team, they're getting Mike Tomlin back. He confirmed that today that he is coming back as the head coach. We'll see what happens at quarterback. It feels like they're going to turn the page.
He confirmed that to the players, right?
He did.
Yeah. He didn't. It wasn't like a big announcement from the team or anything.
Correct.
Like that.
Correct. He confirmed it to the players.
So And to further that, he's going into the last year of his deal for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. So we don't know. There is some. That's why the speculation is out there. That's why the questions were asked, because it's never gotten this far or this close to the end of his contract without the Steelers re-upping it.
Yeah.
So either look for a re-up coming soon, or this might be him playing out the string. We'll see.
He might want out.
Right. Exactly.
He at least said to the players,
next year is a for sure.
Right. Yep. Right. All that being said, it feels like a team that's probably going to move on at quarterback. We'll see what happens with everything, but them starting Mason Rudolph, even though Kenny Pickett was healthy, seems to put the writing on the wall.
Because Mason Rudolph's just okay.
Yeah, which is weird too, because I know Kenny Pickett didn't play really great, but I mean, he had those fourth, he like did really good in fourth quarter comebacks, not turning the ball over a ton. Like
Mason Rudolph,
still super young. Mason Rudolph's a turd.
Mason Rudolph will push the ball downfield where Kenny Pickett wasn't, and we know that Mitch doesn't.
Mitch Trubisky wasn't.
Yeah, so
able to.
I think that's what they were looking for. They were looking for that spark. They were looking for that guy that's going to go downfield a little bit more, and they got it. And they got in. You know, they sneaked into the. They tainted their way into the playoffs.
Snucked.
We gotta find a way to get Mitch on this podcast when he's done
playing. Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, his parents live right down the road.
There you go.
So,
all that being said, he's a guy that is not pretty in the sense of, you know, when he came out as a rookie, Najee Harris was all the rage.
I forgot who we were talking about.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
I was like, what's wrong with Mitch's looks?
Why does he got to be ugly, man?
But he's going to be a very serviceable back. He's now once again getting the carries. He's getting some receptions. He's getting that more steady work that you want to see out of a running back. Do I think we're going to see another season where he's a top three running back like he was as a rookie? No. Nope. I think those days are over. But could we see him in that 8 to 14, 15 range for the next 2 or 3 years? Absolutely. I think he's going to be a very steady, solid running back, play out his rookie contract. Then we'll see what happens from there.
He's my second choice.
Was he?
Outside Joe Mixon, I thought like for perceived value, that's a good buy. I think James Conner kind of falls in that mix a little bit too. A better running backs. Like
I looked at both those guys. Yep.
Yeah. If you need running backs, you want to start thinking about these guys now.
Do it now.
Not when people realize after the NFL draft hits or start getting the Dynasty Nerds film room going, oh man, I need running backs like veterans. Like guys like that, Matt Mesha, Devin Singletary, who consistently just produces out there, James Conner, who consistently produces, and some of these old guys that people think are dead in the water, the Ecklers, the Kamaras, the Derrick Henrys, because they will probably hold value somewhere to somebody because teams are going to need it. And we'll also see running backs get hurt like they always do. So I love a lot of those guys that we talked about, even in the Nerd Herd show as well. So I mentioned a film room. Now there's no better time to get in the Dynasty Nerds, join the Nerd Herd today, because getting that film room, watching these rookies, thousands of hours of tape, all 22 film, and you get the extra bonus podcast, like we mentioned with the Nerd Herd. You get the Nerd Score and so much more by joining the Nerd. So check it out. If you enjoy the show, leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe button. Make sure you come back tomorrow. We're going to do some sells of the same position. So see you tomorrow.
Adios.